This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Inc. For a very lovely morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. Thank you for joining us on the last hour of the show this morning. We appreciate you for that. Now let's dig in into the issue of VAT, issue of stamp duty. I'm sure you must have heard about the Attorneys General of States suing the Attorney General of the Federation over stamp duty collection, the money that has not been remitted back to the state. That matter is in court. The VAT drama is also out there in court already at the appeal court stage. And I want to know this morning whether this indicates the beginning of true federalism, whether it indicates the beginning of restructuring of the Nigerian entity, whether that is the meaning or we're just seeing some kind of change in the way we do things. Maybe it doesn't mean restructuring. Maybe it's just some type of change that we're witnessing. Achike Chude is a policy and development expert. He joins me via the telephone this morning. Achike, lovely morning to you. Thank you for joining the discuss this morning.
Well, lovely morning to you too, Sherif. It's a pleasure.
It's good to have you here. Let's start this way. Today, we're going to be digging into what I just said earlier. So according to research, though Nigeria prides itself as a federal state, but it is far from what federation entails, that Nigeria's extant law federal system bears little or no resemblance to what was formally adopted at inception in 1954, that Nigeria is a troubled federation and at the edge of disintegration. These are what the research has stated. Nigeria will turn 61 in a few days' time, more than six decades later. I want to know whether we are practicing what we should be practicing. A federal structure.
Well, yeah.
Achike.
Well, the research you're just talking about is not that far from the truth. The fact that it is very clear that we have not built a nation state. It is also very clear that Nigeria, you know, today more than at any other time in the country's checkered history, finds itself, you know, in a cul-de-sac. Can neither go forward. You know, cannot go forward. And of course, you know, we cannot remain the same. Because like Heraclitus, the Greek philosopher said, the only thing that is permanent is change. So there must be one form of change or the other. Either that change is positive or it is negative. Unfortunately, what we have experienced in the country in the past few decades has been negative change. To the extent that Nigeria had done well in production, we had a real industry, a real sector that was at least contributing fairly meaningfully to national GDP. Of course, the input or the output from the agricultural field was exceedingly very high and was contributing meaningfully to national development and to GDP.
Right.
All of these things, have disappeared over the years. Unemployment has increased astronomically. And we are not just talking about the other, socio-economic, contradictions in the country that have led us to where we are. So obviously the Nigerian state is not working. Obviously the federation is not working. And the clamor for, resource control, the clamor for true federalism or fiscal federalism is an indication or, that something is wrong with the federalism that we say we are practicing. And so people have come up with all kinds of theories about the kind of federalism that we should, be practicing.
Exactly.
There's no doubt that we are practicing more of a unitary government than a federal, system. Because a federal system presupposes certain, structures within the federation.
Okay.
Most of these, structures are not in existence and have never been in existence at any particular point in time in our historical trajectory. And so all of the tension you see in the land, the violence and all of that, all have shown have thrown questions up,
right,
you know, about
right.
The country, mm-hmm. you know, as a whole. And so it is not unusual. Mm. That, I mean, people have talked about the loyalties that they have to ethnic or primordial cleavages, you know, loyalties to either their religious, you know, proclivities, loyalties to their ethnic enclaves, mm. You know, loyalties to their languages and so on, but not right. loyalty to the nation state.
I want to and ask you, why do you think that is so? Because I've heard stories about back in the day, it was first loyalty to the country, back in the day, in this same country that we are right now. First, it was to the country. Then things began to deteriorate, that people started having loyalties to their religious leanings, to their tribal leanings. People even have loyalty to their clique, not even religion or tribal anymore now, to their clique, to their circle. They will put their loyalty first. And what brought about that downward spiral?
Let's go. There was, you know, an environment of optimism and euphoria was created when the Union Jack was brought down and the green-white green of the new federation in Nigeria, you know, was put up. So there was so much enthusiasm, there was so much hope that, you know, all would be well with the country. You know, people looked forward to a country that was going to work for everybody, regardless of your ethnic cleavages or your religious dispositions.
Mm-hmm.
That was the optimism moving forward after independence. But over the years, as a result, of course, there are all kinds of contradictions that have led us to where we are. We have the new colonial structure that was put in place by the British, our colonial masters, if I use that expression. You know, and some of these cleavages, I mean, some of these structures, new colonial structures,
mm-hmm.
were designed deliberately to, you know, have certain outcomes from the governance of this country. Then we also had, you know, those agents of the new colonial patrimonial structures that were in place also. And these were the politicians, these were the political elites who were looking at Nigeria from not from a patriotic perspective, you know, but we're looking at Nigeria from purely primordial, you know, sentiments, and also from their own, you know, personal perspectives.
Okay.
You know, and that is how the country has been governed over the years. You know, and so, you know, as things became more and more difficult, as the economic space in the country became more and more constricted,
mm-hmm.
people, you know, began to show loyalties to their local enclaves, believing that the nation that everybody had aspired to, you know, no longer had what it takes to provide for them, no longer had what it takes to, you know, imbue in them a feeling of patriotism, you know, and nationalism. And so that's why a lot of people, you know, believe erroneously.
I agree with you, Achike, but what I'm driving at is, at what point did the spirit of patriotism start to die in the leadership of this country? At what point? I mean, I'm not talking about politicians alone as being leaders. I'm talking about leadership in all spheres of this country. At what point did we start losing that love? At what point did we start losing that belief in the oneness of this country?
Look, Nigerians have not always been as primordial as they have been. Nigerians have been wonderful people for a very, very long time. You know, and for as long as they had a country that was working for all of them, for as long as they believed that they could achieve their hopes and aspirations, you know, in the context of the Nigerian Federation, you know, they gave their all to Nigeria. And they got something back from the country. Because, I mean, like I said, the country was working. Various sectors of the political economy of this country
was
working fairly well.
Yeah.
So there was really no basis for disillusionment, you know, in the minds of Nigerians. But then, as things became very difficult, people began to ask questions. As they saw the shenanigans of the political elite in the country, you know, the questions deepened. And so, you know, then, of course, the division also began. And you do not also forget that the politicians essentially need these decisions for them to consolidate, you know, for them to get to political power and to consolidate on political power. You know, when ideas, and we have for so long, we have talked about the fact that Nigerians is not governed on the basis of ideas of or any, you know, validly constructed philosophical viewpoint. You know, so you have a group of people who have a personal agenda and who have a group agenda that is diametrically opposed to a national agenda. And, you know, so what they have done consistently over the years is to promote this primordial, you know, group agenda to the detriment of what you should have as a national agenda. You know, but do not forget again, we in this country, we once had an election in June 1993.
That's right.
And judged to be the best, you know, the freest and fairest election in this country.
That's right.
And we had a dilemma at a particular point in time when we had a Muslim ticket for the SDP, you know, and then it was supposed to be a problem. But it was not a problem as far as the Christian community was concerned. I remember, you know, the Christian Association of Nigeria, then headed by, you know, Archbishop Cardinal Okoji, I mean, Archbishop Okoji, now Cardinal Okoji, who said it was not a problem. That what should be of, you know, primary interest to Nigerians is the ability of these two people to deliver,
right,
you know, their
right.
national assignment of providing for a country, you know, for Nigeria as a country,
right,
for providing, you know, for the citizens of this country, putting food on the table of Nigerians. That was the way it was seen. And we saw that play out in the election. And so there was no division. Nobody was interested in Abiola, for instance, being a Muslim or a Tofa, you know, being a Muslim or a Baba Ghana Kingibe, being a Muslim. It was about what they could contribute, you know, to the national effort to build a country. But all of these things have disappeared over time, especially because the politicians came in and, like I said, needed to get... I do not also forget the long years of military rule in this country. That's
the thing, Achike. Yes. The politicians have always been there. The politicians that are here now, they were there during this election. But the politicians that you're mentioning now, the Abiolas, the Tofas, the ones that are around now, they were around then too. They were there. They've always been there. So how did it change?
Well, it is a good question. It is a good question. They have always been there, or some of them have been there, and how did they change? But let me just say this. They have not exactly always been there. Some have been there.
Okay.
If you look at the donors, if you look at the Ojikano, if you look at some of the younger, you know, politicians, many of them were 40 years by the time they came to power in 2019. I mean, in
2015, 2019,
yes. You know, most of them were not within the political structure of this country. You know, for instance, who knew, you know, Ojikalu, who knew Donald Duke at a particular point in time? You know, so some of them, the civil society people under the aegis of the Campaign for Democracy and some others, and then, of course, some members of the political elite engaged the military and eventually saw to the back of the military. And then when the military came in, some of the old guards, the remnants of the political dispensation from the 1960s, you know, to that time, and then, you know, the new kids on the block, the Oji Carlos, the Donald Dukes, and all the other ones, most of them 40 years, came into the political space. Didn't have so much money, but use the louvers of government to amass, you know, money, a lot of resources illegally. And with these resources, they built up war chests. And with these war chests, they were able to keep other people out of the door. You know, and so we now had a new class of political elites, of political leadership, you know, who now imposed their will on the entire Nigerian masses. And that this thing was going on, something was happening within the social and economic structure of Nigeria. The economy was being battered over time, and Nigerians were being disempowered. The middle class also was collapsing like a pack of cards. You know, and of course, you know that you need a viral, vibrant middle class, you know, for you to make certain political changes within the structure. That middle class has collapsed completely, you know, and so you have the very rich in this country and the extremely very poor. In between, you have people who are just barely managing to scratch the surface of existence. You know, so all of these things, all of these social economic dynamics are playing out at the same time.
Right.
You know, and to the level where we are. So what has now happened is that, like I said, the politicians too, having got to power, in most cases illegally, elections are also manipulated by them. So you now have a situation where, having gotten into power, they do not want to leave the stage. Mm. And the only way they can maintain that power, their power structure, is to play on ethnic primordialities, is to play on some of these primordial sentiments, to remain and to consolidate in power.
Right.
So this is part of the thing, and it has been worse in the past 6 years.
In the past 6 years. All right. Let's tell our listeners and our viewers online to join the conversation. If you'd like to join our conversation this morning on The Crossfire, we're looking at the state of the nation. True federalism, has it started? Has the change started on its own? Has the change taken a life of its own naturally? Is that what we're witnessing right now in terms of the fiscal federalism that is going on, the VAT issue, the stamp duty issue? Well, you've heard our first part of the conversation on what you think could have been, or when do you think the problems, the changes, the downward spiral, when you think it started in Nigeria. You heard what my guest Achike Chude has said so far. I want to take a few thoughts from you today, this morning right now on the telephone. The female only line is 01465-7190. That's 01465-7190 on the female only line. Then the male general line is 0700-993-993-993. I would implore you to be very brief and straight to the point. If you can't call me up, you can go to Facebook and go and drop your comments there. I will take your comment. Oge is joining us this morning. Oge, hi. Morning to you.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, yeah, based on what you're speaking about.
Right.
The VAT issue is actually, true federalism, crawling gradually.
Crawling.
Into our system, yes. It is, because it's not going to come like that.
Boom.
I believe all the things that we need, we're clamoring for, is going to be spontaneous. We will not just sit down and see it happen, because we have asked for this in different places, but they have actually refused. One, resource control, they don't want this, they don't want. So now, as far as all the conferences that we've had before now, none of them were implemented. So I think the governors are beginning to open their eyes to all these things.
Yeah.
So with this VAT, they're actually coming in gradually.
Okay.
That's my own. So for the disunity and the way we see ourselves,
right,
this thing actually started way back. That is during the war, after the war. This is part of the thing that is making us have this issue of not having law. Even 1993, Abiola time, you see what happened then to also cause another kind of division amongst us, So all these things put together are some of the things that is actually making us not have love or have dignity among ourselves. And the Donald Duke and all these you just mentioned, these are not the problem we have in Nigeria. The problem are the old people. These are the cabals. These are the people that are the problem of the country. Those that know the truth. But they have refused to tell the people, the younger generation, what the truth is. So they have a preconceived issues. Now they are coming in different angles, sowing that seed of discord among these younger politicians who are coming in. So these are some of the things that are making us have disunity. So for us to be unified, I think true federalism should be the core thing we should be fighting for. Every state should, mind whatever he has, and there will be competition among us. I believe with time, we all see the genuineness and also, our diversity, be strength in our diversity as
right,
a country.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, brilliant submission. Thank you for your thought. Achike, please stay with me. Let's go to break. We'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll delve into the issue of fiscal federalism, true federalism. Which is it? What is happening right now? Are we on the right path? Do you foresee any impediment? The House of Assembly will resume plenary tomorrow. That's right. And they'll be looking at fiscal federalism as well. Constitutional review is also there on their table. But let's go to break. Lagos, we'll be right back. Stay with us here on The Morning Crossfire here on Nigeria Info 99.3.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We're back on the crossfire here on 99.3 Nigeria Info Lagos. Good morning to you. How are you today? Welcome to the last 30 minutes of the show. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Achike Chude is on the telephone. Achike is a policy and development expert. He joins me this morning to talk about true federalism, fiscal federalism. Are they happening automatically, or this is just a smoke screen of some sort? Things would maybe return to normal. Achike, thank you again for joining us on the conversation this morning.
Thank you.
I like the fact that we started by trying to look at what might have been the faulty foundation to where we are right now. I love, you know, that introduction that we started the show with. Now let's delve into what is happening right now, the VAT, the stamp duty. Achike, what's your thought on what is going on between states and federal concerning the VAT, states and federal concerning the stamp duty?
Yeah, you know, it was good we did the background that we did also. Of course, you also hear people talking about a non-effective constitution and that the constitution needs to be written. We need to restructure the system and all that. Now, the VAT thing is not happening in a vacuum. The VAT thing, this VAT situation is a consequence of other actions that have taken place in the country in the past few years, especially in the last few years, where Nigeria's fault lines have been exacerbated, you know, where the federal government has had the challenge of the unity of this country being questioned by the activities of all kinds of undesirable sociopathic elements who have, you know, who are asking questions of the integrity of the Nigerian territorial space. And again, that has also been exacerbated by the inability and failures of the government to deliver on some of the promises he made to the people and has been unable to unite the Nigerian people. So then we have so many other issues. So that's why I said I'm just trying to build, you know, a lead up to answering the questions you have also talked about. The reality is that Nigeria has entered a path of irreversibility and that you cannot reverse the process that has started. The questions people are asking about their nation state, which has never, ever been asked before. You know, and part of this question is the issue of the VAT. Of course, we all know what has happened. The River State government went to court, obtained a favorable judgment that said that a state, you know, have a duty to collect VAT within their territories. And that has caused a lot of crisis because we have two or three main sources of revenue generation in the country. Of course, the oil sector. You're talking about the value-added tax. You're talking about customs and, you know, areas. So VAT remains a veritable source of revenue for the Nigerian Federation.
That's right.
Now, that has, you know, caused a lot of consternation across the length and breadth of this country. So many states have been, you know, people have described them as parasites and to the rest of the Federation, to those that are contributing to the national coffers. And so people are talking about the need for equity and justice. How can you contribute so much to the national coffers and get so little out of it? You know, and but this is also happening in spite of the fact that there is no state in this country that is not potentially a wealthy state. No state. But I think that what has happened is because over the years, Nigeria became a renter state where states, you know, states just wait for every month for the revenue and mobilization and fiscal, you know, commission to distribute money, largesse to state governments as well. They have done absolutely nothing to mobilize the resources within their state. So the VAT issue is asking a question of the federal structure of the Nigerian state. It's very clear. And so you can see the National Assembly. And the reality is that if FIRS is not standing on any firm grounds. The federal government is not standing on any firm grounds. Of course, you know, we've often talked about, you know, the various power equations between, the federating units in this country. We talk about, you know, the concurrent legislation, the exclusive legislation, and then the residual list. Now, VAT is neither in the concurrent, list, neither is it in the exclusive, list, which is the preserve of the federal government. Rather, and the Constitution makes it very clear that anything that is not you know, for the, you know, in the exclusive list, which is the absolute discretion right. of the federal government, or the concurrent list, which, you know, introduces a duality of rules and responsibilities and duties between the federal government and the state government, mm-hmm. that anything that is not included in those two, you know, it will be in the residual list. And if it is in the residual list, it is the absolute preserve of the state's government to handle. So that is in the residual list, you know, because it was not mentioned in the concurrent list and the exclusive list. Mm. Therefore, it is within the jurisdiction of the state government. And that has caused a lot of problems.
But then,
Ajike, the heart of the issue we have been talking about with regards to federalism,
Ajike,
you know, in Nigeria.
Ajike, before we leave that area, let's dwell a little bit more on the concurrent and exclusive list. The FIRS, they have written to the National Assembly requesting that VAT collection administration should be included in the exclusive list, and they also want a revenue court established. Do you think the National Assembly should get involved?
The issue is that a matter has been brought before the National Assembly, and obviously there are interested parties across state lines, you know. And no, this is not even a party issue, because you now have, you know, a key component of the All People's Congress, the APC government, that is Lagos State, taking a part that is diametrically opposed to that of the federal government. And then, of course, that of River State is understandable, because this is now about self-interest, first of all. Mm-hmm. It's not about national interest, but self-interest. So much money can be generated, for instance, by Lagos State. Lagos State contributes over 50% of VAT to the federal, to the center. So you can imagine how much money would come to Lagos State. So what it means is that the issue of party loyalty, for instance, will be thrown to the winds. People are going to go towards, you know, actualizing the interests of their state. Mm. Now that the FIRS has gone to the National Assembly, it is something that I believe the National Assembly will have to, you know, look into.
Should the National Assembly move it into the exclusive list?
Involved in this process, you're going to have states, especially states that are benefiting from the VAT, ensuring that their representatives at the National Assembly would take a position that is in line with the position of their state governors and their state government. Mm. You know, but again, we must say this, and that's a note of warning for those of us that are overtly enthusiastic about what is going on.
Right.
The reality is that there are just very few states that are contributing meaningfully to the federation account when it comes to VAT, and that is Lagos State, River State, Kano State, a little bit.
Kaduna is doing well as well.
Very little bit.
Right.
They have some other states in the country. So for those who are even celebrating, even some of the southern states, there's also a little bit of a problem, because many of them are not, you know, contributing so much to the national coffers with regards to VAT collections. So where they are going to, you know, look at it from is a completely different thing.
Okay.
If they are going to see ultimately at the end of the day that if this VAT pursuit works in favor of the state, then they will have to look for other sources of revenue to shore up, you know, their revenue base, because they're also going to have a problem.
Right.
But if there's anything that is going to drive competition, they say a desperate situation, breeds a desperate solution. And so we need this kind of, shot in the arm to ginger states, to ginger governors who have hitherto been very, you know, lazy, you know, and lack ambition when it comes to the issues of finance.
They've been less creative.
Finance for their states. Mm. It is now going to put them in a situation where they know that if they are not able to do something about it, if they are not able to, and again, you know, Cherry, but of critical importance is that people will now begin to look at other sources of revenue within their state.
They get creative.
So what it means is that they will now be forced to go back to the National Assembly.
Right.
So every state is blessed with adequate mineral, you know, and natural resources. Mm. Every state in this country. Mm. But somehow, the Constitution and the skewed nature of our Constitution makes it, you know, the repository of the federal government, you know, to regulate whatever happens in every state in this country with regards to the existence of, you know, natural resources. So the states are now going to be under pressure. And so when you have virtually all the states in this country being under pressure, they have no choice than to now go back to the National Assembly to do the proper thing. And this furthers the interest of the ends of federalism.
So
to take away the ownership of natural resources away from the hands of the federal government. And if, you know, the subsequent agreement is for them to fund the federal government, maybe from by way of a special, how do I put it? Giving part of that money to the federal government and retaining the bulk of the monies within their states. It is all well and good.
All right.
Will advance the cost of the state as well as even the cost of the federal government.
Okay. Now.
So this is a good thing I expect, to happen, when these states now act under pressure to now do the right thing.
You have answered most of my questions. Ajike, can you hear me? You have answered most of my questions that I have, because I was going to ask you whether you feel that, starting with the fiscal federalism is the beginning of true federalism in the structure of our democracy here in Nigeria. And you've rightly said that it would help in giving states that nudge that they need, that prompt that they need to get things happen, to get creative in their state. But let's get to the telephone and hear some more thoughts from Lagos this morning, and let's see whether people believe that it will spur, some states to being creative right now, because we're hearing that a lot of more states would pass their own VAT bill this week and probably sign them into law, this week. But then we know that most of these states don't even have the capability of getting the VAT, the consumer, consumption tax from people. They don't have the structure. So perhaps there's going to be some kind of arrangement, like you have said, Ajike, that they should allow the federal government collect, this VAT, then give them back, give the states back the money, that is being generated from their state, of course, with some little maybe operation cost or something like that to the Federal Inland Revenue Service. But the FIRS too is scared of losing about over 2 trillion naira to this development. But let's get to the telephone and hear some people's thoughts, Lagos's thoughts on this. 0700-993-993-993. The female-only line is 01465-7190. That's a female-only line. Good morning to you.
Hello, sir. How are you? This is Alex here.
Welcome, Alex.
Yes. Hello, are you there?
I'm with you, Alex.
Yes, let me just quickly point out, he got it a little bit wrong when he talked about how we got here. You asked him a question in the beginning. And for the benefit of the listeners, let me just quickly point out how we got here. We got here when capitalism got into politics. Let me just quickly explain that. You see, the Awolowos and the Azikiwes, and they were not capitalists. They were not investors. Their agenda was simple. They wanted to lead their people out of the hands of our colonialists, right?
Mm.
Hello?
I'm with you, Alex. Go on. You have the floor.
Then at some point, when we got independence, we now needed to develop. We had to get contractors, right, who would do some of the major developmental projects, right? Now, when we got contractors, these are the real capitalists. Initially, they were getting contracts and they were satisfied with the contracts.
Mm.
But at some point, they were no longer satisfied with just getting contracts. They wanted to be in control of the post. And then they started coming into politics, right? How did those people that you mentioned, how did they get that kind of money? They got that kind of money because they were able to get contracts, humongous contract sizes that would only have happened in a unitary state. If we were operating a real federalism, those people would not have been able to amass such wealth. And that is part of the problem we are facing. You know what now happened? They started sponsoring their children to become governors. I'm from Edo State. I use my state as a typical example. Suddenly, Lucky Igbinedion became a governor. What do you think was the reason behind it? It was an investment. They are capitalists. They didn't come here to lead you to anywhere. So they were not promoting the patriotism card. That's really it.
All right.
And for that, hello?
Alex, go on, please.
Yes, and for that, it's the best thing that has happened to us.
Okay.
Never mind that thing about some states will benefit, some states will not benefit. Mm. Let me tell you what should happen with those states who think they will not benefit.
Tell me.
They should go and dust their books on what they can sell to states like Lagos.
Mm.
So that Lagos can come and can bring that money back to their
to
state.
Them.
Last week, I told Agogo that Lagos can set up a solar farm in Kano in the desert. They can use the refuse generated in Kano to promote them into developing the biogas for transportation and power generation. They should think. Thanks, Sheriff.
Thank you, Alex, for your call. Chike, let's take another call. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, Mrs. Oluwasola.
Welcome.
I think this unit started, when the country is using two laws, one for the elite, one for the poor people. When the poor people commit little offense, they put every penalty on them, and we keep on going. Hopefully one day we will get out of it. Come 2015, everybody believes that there's no way anybody can take power from the person that is in power. And Nigeria people come together and we rescue power. So show them. You see what we are facing today?
Right.
They deliberately to make people poor so that they can continue in power. That is why the big unity, this unity is going on in Nigeria, because everybody has discovered where the problem is. And come to this
VAT
something.
Right.
I think it wasn't at the beginning. It was introduced in order to make more money from the people. So if you don't buy anything, there's no way you can pay VAT. And if I'm the one in the power now, with the situation in the country,
right,
and people are crying with the high costs of the prices in the country, I will remove it completely. But it's not so. The governor are fighting for it. Is it for us? It's for them. Because part of complaint of Vicky is that when he needs money, he goes to Abuja, and the Abuja will not give him enough money. Is that what we are going to call? Can that be progress with the situation? If government is complaining that they don't have money, do we have money? Is a question we need to ask them.
Yes.
They are still come back to us.
I agree.
Thank you. May God be with you.
Shala, you too. Thank you for calling me. Appreciate it. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Chief Quadri, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Ambassador Chike, good morning, sir. Chief Quadri.
Good morning. Thank you.
Telling us that Ebonyi State, Osun State, which other state, Enugu, Abia, will not get. No. They say no food for lazy man. They have resources. Let the governor brace up and walk. Let them go back to the field. And then all the resources they have in their state. And I said something before. I used to tell you this. This party is not a vehicle that will take them to that destination. And I thank God, Lagos State and River State, and one man from Adamawa say he supported what Onyin Sonyuko is doing. So that party is just a vehicle to take them there. They should have Nigerians at heart to work for this country. I'm begging every one of them. Thank you, Chief Godre.
Thank you too for calling. Achike, let me come to you on this conversation about fiscal federalism will be nothing if you don't have true federalism first. Do you agree with that notion?
Yes. But I would just if you allow me, if you permit me, I listened to the conversations and the contribution by Alex.
Okay.
It would appear that Alex, she didn't understand or she wasn't listening well when I was talking. I talked about the post-independent neo-colonial structure. You know, it is a capitalist structure that's also responsible, partly responsible for some of the problems we are having in Africa and in Nigeria. The issue of, debt. Are giving African political leaderships debt that they know will be stolen and so that has also brought about that dependency syndrome too. You know, but beyond that, the reality is, yes, you cannot have fiscal, federalism if you do not have, proper federalism, because fiscal federalism is an aspect of federalism, of true federalism. You know, and true federalism, if you're looking at it, is purely a political construct, of course, with economic implications. What I mean is this. If you notice what has brought us to where we are, you will talk about, first of all, the misgovernance of the country, of the country's political space over the years, not just by this government.
That's right.
But exacerbated by this government that has also exaggerated or exacerbated the country's fault lines. So all of these socio-political contradictions have led us now and increased the crescendo of discussion about the unworkability of the Nigerian state and the need to do something, to arrest the imminent collapse of the country. And so you will also give credit, whether we like it or not. You know, they say sometimes good comes out of evil. And a lot of evil has attended, you know, to Nigeria. I mean, has played a role in where the country is today. You are talking about the killings in the country. All of these killings have, you know, brought about critical questions about the unity of the Nigerian state.
Right.
These killings also have led to the rise of people like Nnamdi Kanu, who have been able to mobilize people along a particular, you know, level of, you know, consciousness. The people, it has also been responsible for the Sunday Boers. All of these things, all of these agitation by these groups of people also put pressure on the Southern political leadership that eventually led to the convening of the first Southern Governors Forum that also caused a problem, especially among the Northern political elite. Because what has happened is that you now have a balance of power. And in a federation like Nigeria, you know, it is not a negative thing to have a proper balance of power, because everybody is aware, is conscious of the potentials of the other group to counter whatever they want to do. So it helps them to make decisions that are informed, decisions that are ultimately for the public good.
Right.
And you just want to go a little bit into the international arena. Why is it, for instance, that America and Russia for so many years were the greatest military powers in the world? They had nuclear weapons, and they were, you know, a major rivals, and that you think that at any particular point in time, they were going to, you know, be at war with one another. But it was essentially because of the principle of balance of power, you know, that because they knew the potential for self-destruction if they venture to attack one another.
That's right.
So in Nigeria, there has been a power vacuum in this country for far too long. We have not been able to counter the power, the enormous power, the influence of a part of this country for quite some time. And so, and that was why when the Southern Governors Forum held, it caused a lot of problems, especially, you know, up north. And so this balancing of power also helps. And that is what has led to the increased agitation. For instance, two things, you know, I will mention.
Achike.
The president talks about recently about open grazing. It was condemned all round because people said, look, there is nothing in the Constitution,
Achike, can you hear me?
So without the approval of the state, the federal government does not have any land in this country except those lands that are specified by the Constitution. Federal
Achike, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
That is one aspect. Yeah, hello.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
I think we're having some bit of connection issue, but that's not even the point. The point is that we are out of time. I wish you could go. I know that time is never enough anytime I have you on this show. But then we have to leave it here for this morning. Oh, yeah, I know. Something is wrong with that connection. But Achike, thank you so much for joining us on the show. I appreciate your time. Lagos, we must go now. We really must go. Thank you all for being a part of this conversation this morning. We will keep talking about it. All our shows will still keep talking about it, because it's what is trending right now, the VAT drama between states and federal, the stamp duty drama between states and federal. All of these conversations are all going. I'm Sheriff Quadri. I'm not going anywhere yet. Table Talk is next after this commercial.
This is an infomercial.
Hey guys,
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.